the door with more gifts. And he says, and he says, and he says, I've got a map that will get you anywhere you want to go. But I know, but I know, but I know, he folds and unfolds, he folds and unfolds, he folds and unfolds the truth.
And he can keep and break the promises that anybody can't keep and break me. And he can keep and break the promises that anybody can't keep and break me. And he can keep and break the promises.
White woman walks in the door with more gifts, and she says, and she says, and she says, you can have my photo, and you can take it anywhere you want to go. But I know, but I know, but I know, she touches and retouches, she touches and retouches, she touches and retouches the truth.
And she can keep and break her promises and leave, but she can't keep and break me. And she can keep and break her promises and leave, but she can't keep and break me. And she can keep and break her promises and leave, but she can't keep and break me. And she can keep and break her promises and leave, but she can't keep and break me. And she can keep and break her promises and leave, but she can't keep and break me.
You're listening to the Tashunka Witko Brigade on Free Radio Olympia, your unlicensed effort in the northwest of this land under siege, indigenous land under siege, indigenous airwaves under siege. And you heard an interview by Wambli Watakpe of his fellow AIM warrior, Carter Camp. And Wambli Watakpe is back, and he will tell us some of his ideas on his conversation with Carter and other things he wanted to bring up.
I wanted to sum up a little bit a lot of the information that Carter had is no different, almost similar to thinking by a lot of indigenous resistors and activists and advocates. And back in the 70s, these ideas were seen as extremely radical and militant by the reactionary government at that time, which was then headed up by Richard Nixon. And while he was doing that, forming and fomenting the war machine, the killing machine that is America, against all enemies, mainly people of color, he was stealing the elections. And that year, if you recall, for those that were around, the Republicans won by the huge, unprecedented landslide. Only to find out that, you know, they had completely violated every law and buried the Constitution. It was buried in that day and age by the Nixon administration. Shortly after he left office, we had President Ford fall down the stairs and somehow managed to pardon Nixon. Just like that, you know, just like that, he pardoned him. And what can only be described as one of the greatest, you know, acts of injustice in modern age. We have a president now who has totally, and I mean totally, laid to waste any rights, any laws, any rule of law. We have one of the biggest scams going on right now in the Congress, where they're interviewing this Justice Alito, who is, as I was reviewing some of the footage, this smug individual knows full and well his policies of reverting back to the original Federalist stance, and I'm talking about in the 16 and the 1500s. So for all of the American people out there, and this includes the progressives, because the progressives are just left of their brethren, the righties, within the same framework, that it was no different than their original Puritan ethical murderous trends under the same kind of rhetoric, religious fanaticism by the one culture that has crusaded against every other culture, and that's the cultures of the Western Europe, the people they call the Caucasians, who now have extended their idea of how to live globally, and now they're trying to eradicate every other form and ideal of culture and ideas and to have to do with the way to live by military incursion, invasion, and occupation. And that is violence. And so with all this bloodletting, the thing that occurred to me after listening to this Alioto fiasco and watching some tapes of how they leveled the city of Fallujah, and then listening to Carter talk about how we're struggling, and now we have to go back in again to Bear Butte. I was there in 94 when we had to do the same thing all over again. And a biker group was providing security out of Leeds, South Dakota, along with the KKK group out of Leeds, South Dakota, and Deadwood. You know, you guys all know the serial program called Deadwood, as if, you know, there's something actually good about the place. All these cities are Deadwood as far as natives are concerned. They've hired these guys to come in and provide security against the Lakota, and about 400 of us showed up to protest. New Agers, about 100 of them, who were going to ensconce themselves in Bear Butte and do ceremonies. And what we found was we actually found a group that was hired, a native guy who was from one of the families there, and was in the process of taking them through sweats, and we usurped it, and we confiscated all the items that we considered sacred, and we sent them packing. The rangers were there; they didn't say anything. You know, they had a museum, and we were gonna reclaim our sacred items and to rebury them. Actually, we were gonna put them on the mountain, but the elders there said that would not accomplish anything. And in the midst of all this, we had U.S. Marshals and FBI agents showed up, and they showed up with the lame excuse of wanting to. They said they were there to protect us. Since when has the United States Cavalry, under any banner, whether it's FBI, U.S. Marshals, or the local KKK and vigilante groups, the sheriffs, the local sewing circle, whoever, has had any inclination to helping natives in a way that would be beneficial to the natives without them getting some kind of something out of it themselves? The only way that And there's only one way to help natives, and that's if they get off the land and they, you know, and return. And I don't mean the right of return for us to return to our land, but I mean the right for them to return to their land. Because as far as it stands right now, every day that they're here, whether they're good people or not, is not even the question. There's an occupation going on here, not in Israel, not in Iraq, not in Kandahar, not in, you know, Sudan, not, you know, around the globe, you know, the Malaysia, you know, Aceh, wherever. We're talking about right here. And this blood that's being spilled is all native people, it's all indigenous people's blood that's being spilled. So I wanted to read you some poems that have to do, since the culture from Europe is into blood, as long as it's somebody else's, I thought we would read some poems that have to do with this idea of blood and make it a truly equal statement under Allah and under God and under Tunkashila, since all of you do-gooders out there, you know, your hearts are in the right place, and you tell me that your thinking is in line with mine and everything. We're actually going to, you know, test you to see if you actually understand that so far we haven't seen anything out of the progressive community except endless organizing. Code Pink and all of them are endless organizing purposeful effect. I mean, George Bush is still in office. Condoleezza Rice is still in office. You know, all of the others, Ashcroft and, you know, Rumsford still in office. You know, Cheney still in office. Powell and some of these others that left, you know, George Tenet, and, you know, they're protected. All of these guys getting out and, you know, having these revelations, whether it's Bremer or, you know, some CIA analyst or whatever, that's all poppycock. It doesn't matter. Little to do about nothing. When they're in office and there's something going on, their oath says that they're supposed to speak up, not afterwards so they can write a damn book and get money for it. That's the same thing that the U.S. Prison system says, that if you violate, if you're a criminal and you do a criminal act, you can't then write a book and get the proceeds from your act. That's the same thing. These guys have pulled off murder at such an astonishing and astronomical, overwhelming level that everybody's dumbfounded. The only thing I can compare it to is an invasion of global proportions. And in that case, we're all in it. It's not, you're not left up just to the certain segments of society to stand up again. While we have to stand up to defend our sacred sites continuously, as you've heard Carter talk about, we have to all stand up to defend the most sacred of all the sites, and that's the earth. I mean, you people are, you're thinking out there, the thinking of this country is so warped and so rigidly dysfunctional that you believe everything that's said, you know. I mean, you let people like Abramoff come in and rip off everybody and then turn around and call it a scandal. Well, that's the American way. It's scandalous. So I'm going to keep you guys informed as to what some of this bloodletting is that's going on. We have like Pat Robertson calling for everybody's blood. What about his blood? What about the discussions I had back in the day with the various, quote, law enforcement, end quote, agencies and individuals? I said, you know, this violence is a two-way street. You know, I said, I've been in combat, actually real combat. Not this, what you call combat, I fear for my lives out here in the streets. Combat is not combat. I mean, first of all, the guys that they're going up against don't have the kind of weapons that they say, nor the tactics, nor the training. You're having people that are involved in activities and they may be abusive and they may be illegal to the colonial state, but they're definitely not an army. Even the gangs aren't an army. I'm talking about armed, organized combat, and the police are not up against that. I don't care how much more movies they fantasize and games they play and stuff. They're not up against that. They're up against people who lose it or don't want to get caught or whatever, and they may do something which is highly violent, but it's just a spur of the moment. So if they met real resistance in a sense of an armed struggle, in a sense of a resistance effort, like we've seen here and there, we would see something else. So let me read this for you. I got a couple passages I want to read, and then we'll turn it over to Tanya. This is taken from the book called The Road to the Martyr Square, A Journey into the World of the Suicide Bomber, since all you people out there are really into the machinations of the Western media, who fails to cover the leveling of whole cities while reporting only the snippets of promoting the invasion. And so this is written by Anne Marie Oliver and Paul Steinberg, who actually went into Palestine, and it has to do with the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. It's called The Portfolio. The striking of bullets, O my enemy, gives us power and zeal against those who make of themselves our enemies. By your bullets, you give us drink from the fountain Cathar. By your bullets, you give us the key to paradise. The striking of bullets, O my enemy, gives us power and zeal against those who make of themselves our enemies. The striking of bullets, O my enemy, gives us power and zeal against those who make of themselves our enemies. Pour bullets on the people and increase them. Let the martyrs amongst my people increase. By the machine gun, O Mohammed, we'll restore your religion and we'll drink from the blood of all those who make of themselves our enemy. And we have some other passages, and these are, you know, the short passages. This is what people under siege in real places who are resisting invasion and the invaders and the oppressors. This is their words. And this is what we're going to be talking about. You guys are out there talking about democracy and freedom. You don't have the right to be free to destroy everything else if it's disrespectful. That's not freedom. That's invasion. That's colonialism. And I'm not going to buy it. You know, you have a right to be free. You have a right to be free in respect of everybody else's freedom, not in disrespect of everybody else's freedom. And if you're at war and you're in a war state and you're in an invasion-minded trance, then you are disrespecting big time. The road to Martyr Square. O day of Al-Aqsa, reality has become mad. As the news of the massacre spread, all the people gathered on the streets of Palestine were hinnayed with blood. Blood drains from the wounded, and the martyrs embrace, and pain sings. And there's a couple others that I wanted to leave with you that are a little bit more to the liking in terms of strength. And this is from In the Shade of the Quran. It's written by, it was said by Abdullah Assam, who has been credited for the upbringing and the mentoring of one Osama bin Laden. Not to be taken out of stance of anybody like Thomas Jefferson or others who created all the other presidents that followed, that murdered all these Indian people and globally did the same thing. I mean, you have to understand that when Wounded Knee went down in 1890, they were doing the same thing in Argentina and Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador and China. I mean, the same program has existed all along. It's not just today. It just these things just don't happen out of, you know, all of a sudden it's some guy like Bush. Bush is not that smart. I don't care what all you people that support him think. He's not that smart. But the policy that we're talking about is the same policy that existed for centuries. So Abdullah Assam is a Muslim, and he, in June 92, with the battalions of Al-Qassam, stated that jihad is difficult. And he says jihad is heavy on the soul. But if there is no alternative, then it is weakness to live as a coward. He goes on to say, appealing to the wounds of victims and the honor of virgins, he then breaks into verse, if there is no solution to the problem but to ride it, then there is nothing for the compelled to do but ride. Who is the victim consoling the wounds? Who is for the virgins protecting their honor? And he continues saying, what value has life if we live like a small child under the feet of the unbelievers? What value has life if we accept to sit with those who remain behind? If they prefer to stay with those who remain behind, and Allah has sealed their hearts, so they do not understand. And then finally, there's a couple other passages, but finally, the last two passages, killing and fighting have been written for us just as oblivion has been written for prostitutes. It is inevitable that you raise the spear, and it is inevitable that you unsheathe the sword, that you put the index finger on the trigger, and it is inevitable that you die standing on the field of battle. Not under the feet of the lowly and the godless in the depths of the prison, or between the wheels of a car or in a hospital. There is only one death, so let it be on the path of Allah. I forgot my name, I forgot my address. I came to you, O mother of all, and carved my name on my machine gun. Fatah man, revolutionary, Fidayi, Palestinian.
Queremos explicarles que ser zapatista no es estar armado, ni estar en la montaña, ni siquiera estar en Chiapas. Sino ser zapatista es buscar una nueva forma de vida y una nueva forma de relacionarse.
Off the rim, man. So let me tell you a little the fence of the earth and the sun, cause we're in the fence of the earth and the sun, cause this is a local drive-by, so with the ground don't make a sign of watching to fly. This is a local drive-by, so with the ground don't make a sign of watching to fly. I got the rage, I got the rage, I got the rage to bust the 12 gauge. I got the rage, I got the rage, I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. To pump the 12 gauge, to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. I got the rage to pump the 12 gauge. To pump the 12 gauge, to pump the 12 gauge.
This one's for the Gonzalez Bakery in East LA.
El cielo está llorando sobre las montañas. Los ríos están secados de todas sus aguas. Y los chivos y niños tienen miedo de chupacabras, el chupacabras.
Chupacabra in my head, chupacabra under my bed. Chupacabra, are you evil? Chupacabra, the people are dead. Chupacabra, is it true? Chupacabra, what they say? Some
explicarles que ser zapatista no es estar armado, ni estar en la montaña, ni siquiera estar en Chiapas, sino ser zapatista es buscar una nueva forma de vida y una nueva forma de relacionarse.
That was Aztlan Underground. You're listening to the Tashunka Witko Brigade on Free Radio Olympia, your unlicensed effort in the Northwest. I wanted to honor Comandante Ramona of the EZLN, the Zapatista Liberation Army, who was buried yesterday at 2:30 p.m. in San Andres Larrainsar in Chiapas. It was a cold wind, and she was buried without her pasamontañas, the traditional hat that the Zapatistas wear so that you cannot see the faces. As they said, we have had to become faceless to be heard. The local cemetery was full of people that came to honor her. They were shoulder to shoulder, more than 600 people. Of course, the journalists had to be kept at bay so that they wouldn't take pictures and be disrespectful or take notes or anything. She was buried right next to her brother, who had donated his kidney to Ramona. She had a long history of kidney problems. Ramona was the heart, the founder of the EZLN. And even though her health wasn't strong, she was very strong and gave the foundations for revolution that started in Chiapas and is still spreading all over indigenous country in the continent. And I wanted to read her words on October 12, 1996 in Mexico City. To the people of Mexico, brothers and sisters, through my voice speaks the voice of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. Today, we have come this far, to the center of this country that is called Mexico, to say to you, to all the Mexican men and women, as many words as we the Zapatistas have. In and of itself, our Zapatista word is very small, but its stride is very large, and it goes very far and enters many hearts. These hearts that listen to us are of men, women, children, and elders that want a democratic, free, and just country. These hearts are those which helped us to arrive at the Zócalo of Mexico City. These hearts want the same things that we Zapatistas want and that we all want. We want a Mexico that takes us into account as human beings, that respects us and recognizes our dignity. Therefore, we want to join our small Zapatista voice to the large voice of all who fight for a new Mexico. We arrive here in order to shout together with all that no longer, nunca más, that never more will there be a Mexico without us. We want this, a Mexico where we all may have a place with dignity. Therefore, we are disposed to participate in a great national dialogue with all, a dialogue where our word will be a greater word in many words and our heart will be a greater heart with many hearts. For this national dialogue, we are going to travel a lot and we're going to take many steps. We are prepared to do everything in order to take these steps. But we need all of you to help us, all of the Zapatistas, to travel as you have helped me to travel here. Mexican brothers and sisters, I am the Comandante Ramona of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. I am the first of many steps of the Zapatistas to the Federal District and to all the places of Mexico. We hope that you all go with us. This is our word, brothers and sisters of Mexico. Thanks from the Zócalo of Mexico City Federal District for the Clandestine Indigenous Revolutionary Committee, General Command of the Zapatista Army of Liberation, Comandante Ramona, Mexico, October 1996.
Hacen falta alas para hacer un sueño. Basta con las manos, basta con el pecho, basta con las piernas y con el empeño. No hacen falta alas para ser más bellos. Basta el buen sentido del amor inmenso. No hacen falta alas para alzar el vuelo. Sí. Recojo fondos para pobres de amistad y de sonrisa. Recojo cuanto haya de bien en lo que esconde tu camisa. Acepto pueda ser útil al coro que compongo. Siempre que quieras compartir un sueño ancho, largo y hondo. Recojo el hielo a la deriva de los polos congelados. Bueno, con buena voluntad y mucha miel haré un helado. No le daré al mentiroso y al cobarde. Repartiré solo al que ama y al que arde. Thank you.
con las manos, basta con el pecho, basta con las piernas y con el empeño. No hacen falta alas para ser más bellos. Basta el buen sentido del amor inmenso, no hacen falta. Recojo cuando haya de bien en lo que esconde tu camisa. Acepto cuanto pueda ser útil al coro que compongo. Siempre que quieras compartir un sueño ancho, largo y hondo.
Great land of the Ganja Goddess.